Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
The hardest guy for me to defend was Bernard King.
Wow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week of Rocking the Suburbs. Hope you had a great weekend, and everybody had a good time over the Easter holiday. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of my co-host, good friend, and co-founder, Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this program. And once again, by my side, with me on the other mic, is Bill Mulligan. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Bill. Thank you again for being here. I really appreciate it. We have gotten more correspondence on our college basketball concerts, and this is our gift to you folks to help you come down from the amazing amount of college basketball you watched. And I don't think the NBA playoffs have started yet, but we do have baseball underway, and we have the NHL going as well. So there's a lot of sports overlap at this moment. Bill, I got to ask you, as a season ticket holder for the Washington Nationals, our hometown baseball team, are we going to lose less games than last year? Because we lost over 100 last year, I believe.
We're probably on pace for that this year.
Oh, boy.
As well.
That's going to be another long one.
If we get lucky and a couple of young guys play at the high end of their potential range all at the same time, we might do a little bit better. But when our starting day pitcher is one of the worst day and opening day pitcher is one of the worst pitchers in baseball, it does not bode well for long term success.
No, that's putting it by. Yeah, that's how Kevin Clement would have put it, Bill. Very, very delicately. I like that. Now, I got to ask you on the other coast about your Padres. How are you feeling about them this year?
Pretty good. They've got as much as it pains me, the Nationals part of me is pained to say this, they're going to have a full season of Soto.
Yep.
And hopefully he didn't actually produce very much after they acquired him last year. If they get a full year of full power Soto, they've got the firepower to keep up with the Dodgers and conceivably win it all. And I think there are only, I can't remember. They're one of a handful of teams, two or four teams, that have never won the World Series.
Right, right.
So hopefully
I would love to see it.
End this year, yeah.
That would be great. That would be great. It's been a while since we've had a first-time champion at anything in the major sports, so that would be very cool.
Well, don't you remember who the last one was? 2019.
Well, the Nats, that's right. Yes, I attended one of the three home games they lost. And that was a strange series that all the road teams won every game. That was really bizarre.
I think in all major sports, that's the only seven-game postseason series where that has happened.
Is that right?
That the road team won every single one of the games.
That was really interesting. It really was. I was just like so bizarre. I was like, finally, they've got to win one at home. But, man.
Well, you know, I was at all three of the home games as a season ticket holder, and I'm more than happy to watch them lose three times if they get the ring at the end of it.
Yes, that's very true. It was a worthwhile trade-off, And I remember the one we went to, it was over pretty early, I mean, game-wise, so I think we ended up getting home at a decent hour. So, but let's shift to college basketball now. Somebody save out that clip, and we'll get back to Bill. Maybe he'll have the right prediction at the end of October. Okay, today we've got three calls, and then we're going to hear from Bill to wrap up today's show. But let's start here with Jeff Frank, who wrote in and said, Gabba Gabba Hey, Jim and Patrick, I've got two voice files he's included. So he's included his basketball memories and his March New Music. But we're going to go with basketball now from Jeff Frank.
Hey, Patrick and Jim. It is Jeff from Menlo Park, California. Probably a new voice to most within the community here, although I do date back to the previous incarnation and have recently-ish discovered the current form. been catching up on a bunch of old episodes and thought I'd chime in with my basketball arena stories from the past, because my 30-year plus music industry career actually got its start in a basketball arena back in the 80s. Specifically down in Florida, I went to school at the University of South Florida, and there was a venue on site called the Sun Dome, which is where our basketball team played. And this was about a 10,000-seat arena that also hosted most of the concerts in the Tampa Bay area. And I started off working there in 1987 as a college student stagehand, and eventually worked my way up to becoming a runner, which is exactly what it sounds like. But the cool part is you would get to work in the dressing room. And basically, I had to go out and fulfill the band's riders. And that meant everything from dropping off their laundry to getting guitar strings. And in the case of Poison, picking up a case of ribbed condoms, specifically spelled out in their rider. Many, many memories. I mean, over the course of my time there, probably worked upwards of 200 shows. The very first show I worked was the Pretenders. We'll certainly never forget your first. Other highlights were Def Leppard's Hysteria show, which happened to be on New Year's Eve. Depeche Mode, Violator, REM's Green Tour. Tom Petty's Caravan Tour sticks out. That had the Georgia Satellites and the Del Fuego's opening. Certainly Beck and Stevie Ray Vaughan. I should say Jeff Beck and Stevie Ray Vaughan. And then lots of memories of having to drive artists around in my beat-up Nissan Sentra as a poor college student. So driving Gene Simmons to the Blockbuster Video to get some videos on the tour bus. Debbie Gibson, driving her around trying to find wheatgrass juice. Certainly one of the most memorable nights was on my 21st birthday, which happened to coincide with a bad English show, and ended up spending the rest of a night, an all-night bender with Neil Sean out on the streets of Tampa that I will never forget. One last memory is working the David Lee Roth A Little Ain't Enough tour, which started in Tampa. So I got to work the rehearsals, which was 2 or 3 days of just seeing the band noodling, working on songs, playing Unchained over and over again. Wasn't exactly peak Eat 'Em and Smile David Lee Roth. By this time, Steve Vai had left. It was Joe Holmes on guitar, but a ton of memories. Someday I will tell you more of them over a beer. But just thought I'd share. So thanks.
They call it Dr. Love.
Calling Dr. Love.
Wow, great stuff there from Jeff. Thank you very much, sir, for calling in. I know what the little Easter egg at the end of this episode is going to be. I know what phrase. I've already picked it out.
I don't know. There was no REM reference.
I know.
I guess we let it slide. But
We're going to let it slide. We didn't get any REM or Dylan or Cure on that one, but that was great. What a great story. And I would definitely take you up on that, Jeff, on that beer to hear some more of them. That would be fantastic. Gene Simmons in Blockbuster. You got to love that. That is just too funny, man.
I thought he was saying that he was driving Debbie Gibson around looking for weed. Turned out to be, what was it, wheatgrass or?
Wheatgrass, I believe, yeah, for maybe her smoothie or something like that. Yeah, that would be different. Yeah, partying in Tampa with Neil Sean. That's pretty crazy. Down in, what is the, they have a little Cuba area, don't they? Ybor City or something like that? Is that what it's called in Tampa?
Never been to Tampa.
Oh, okay. Yep. I think that's what it's called. They have a big Cuban influence down there, and that's a great place that people like to go. So thank you so much, Jeff, for calling in, dude. That was great. Menlo Park, Bill. Do you know anything about Menlo Park, California?
I know that it's in California, and it's north of San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And that's about all I know. I mean, very north of San Diego.
Very north. Okay. Okay. Well, that definitely helps. I don't know why that name sounds familiar to me, but it does. I'll have to do some digging on that, Menlo Park. But yes, thank you, Jeff. It's great to hear from you. And I think we heard from him once before telling us that he had gotten back and listening to the old episode. So I really appreciate to have you on board. Welcome, welcome, as always. Let's see. Oh, we got an email here from Harris King, Bill, and he's included pictures of the ticket stubs from the shows he's going to talk about. So let me read this, and we will get some of these ticket stubs up on the episode page for this show. He says, first of all, it was Hall & Oates on the Big Bam Boom Tour. And I'm trying to look at 1985, I believe it says, February 1985 on the ticket stub. He writes, one of my friend's dads worked for the local cable company in Spartanburg, and somehow they were sponsoring this tour, or maybe it was through MTV or something. Anyway, we got comp tickets pretty close up in the Little John Coliseum, but my buddy got sick and not being able to go. His younger sister ended up going with me and his dad. I didn't have high expectations for the show and didn't think I was a fan. That changed when I realized I recognized almost every song they played. It was such a great show. As a bonus, Tommy Shaw of Styx opened, and that was fun too. It was his Girls with Guns tour. Very cool. Little John, Bill, is that... what college? Do you know what college that might be? Clemson. Oh, okay, Clemson University. Okay. Not a... amateur basketball team. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if they still play in Little John, but
Little John,
having attended an ACC school, that's a name that I've been hearing for close to 40 years.
Yes, exactly. The Tigers. More known for football these days, I guess. But okay, here we go, Bill. REM. Clemson University and Cellador Concert present REM at the Little John Coliseum. There's no date here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. October 2nd, 1987, Little John Coliseum, Clemson, South Carolina. This was a bucket list show before I knew what bucket lists were. It was on the work tour, Harris says. Three high school friends and I made the two-hour drive down to the show, and it was great. I think Finest Work Song is one of the greatest opening tracks ever, and it is for sure a great song to open a show with. Bam! 10,000 Maniacs opened and were really good. I also enjoyed when Natalie Merchant came out to sing Ain't No Sunshine and Life and How to Live It with the band during the encore. Wow, that's cool. This was the only time I ever saw REM. So amazing. I think they played many basketball arenas on this tour. Hope to hear about others. Yeah, I think in October, in the fall, a lot of bands would tour colleges, right, Bill, in like September and October because it was a new semester. Most of the students still had some money at the beginning of the semester. It wasn't like at the end when you didn't have anything left. And then you were using up all your food coupons to eat on. And Oh, he's got a link to the set list here too, which is very cool. Let's see really quick. Setlist.fm, yeah, Finest Work Song, Fireplace, Superman, End of the World as We Know It, Strange, it's the Wire song, Disturbance at the Hen House. Wow, two encores. Three encores. Holy Christmas. They needed to drag out Natalie Merchant if they had to play a third encore. That's really cool. Peace Train by Cat Stevens and Midnight Blue by Foreigner they played. Wow. That sounds like an amazing show. How many songs is that? 29. That's a lot of songs. Okay, let's see what else Harris has for us. Here's one. This is the last one, I believe. It is November 11th, 1996 at the Carolina Coliseum in Columbia, South Carolina. Carolina Coliseum. This is the Smashing Pumpkins. And the Smashing Pumpkins were huge at this time. I was in grad school, so a German buddy and I went to the show. We were underwhelmed, but the opener, Garbage, were freaking awesome. Would have loved to have heard another hour or so from them. Cool. Columbia, South Carolina, that would be the University of South Carolina, maybe. Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's in Columbia. Very cool. Thank you, Harris, very much. And these ticket stub pictures are great. Especially like the REM one. That's very cool. Okay, we've got one more, and that is going to be our friend Kevin Bartlett from up there in the Midwest. Let's hear what Kevin has to say.
Hey, Jim and Patrick, this is Kevin Bartlett out of Forest Park, Illinois. And you can also listen to me on Suburbs Radio every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. I'm going to tell you a little bit about college basketball arena and seeing some concerts. For me, it goes back to 86, and I was a student at the University of Illinois in Chicago. REM was coming to play, and I didn't have tickets. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe I can get a job as an usher. And sure enough, I got a job as an usher just so I can go to the REM concert. And I kept that job for that year. And the best experience that year of going to concerts and seeing shows at the UIC Pavilion, now Credit Union One Arena, was the Grateful Dead in 87 played three nights there. The first two nights, uneventful for me, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, I was just, you know, an usher and enjoying the show. I mean, love the Dead, and so I enjoyed the show. The third night, I decided it would be good to go to a pre-party. So I went to a pre-Grateful Dead party at some friend's house. And back in that day, I did something that I probably shouldn't have been doing. I know I shouldn't have been doing, but I drove to the UIC. And I picked up some Grateful Dead hitchhikers, brought them to the show. And then I proceeded to get into the arena. And my boss comes up to me and he looks at my eyes and he's like, Kevin, you look effed up. And I'm like, Sal, I am completely effed up. Just ready to have a good time. And he said, where do you want to work? I'm like, I'd like to be in the first 10 rows. So I was an usher in the first 10 rows, and I had an agreement with all the people around me. You know, hey, we're all cool. Just we'll all hang out in this little area. You know, just don't crowd me, and everything will get along just fine. And it was a brilliant evening of Dead music, and it's a memory that I certainly won't forget. And I love going to see shows, especially at the USC Pavilion. Take care, guys. Talk to you later.
Some folks trust in reason, others trust in mind. I don't trust nothing, but I know we come out right. Say it once again now, whoa, I hope you understand. When it's done and over, look, a man is just a man. Playing, playing in the band. Daybreak,
Okay, brilliant from Kevin. I was laughing really hard during that. I'm trying to think back, and if I've ever had a job where the boss walked up to me and said, "You look effed up," and then asked me where I wanted to work. Exactly. You get to work in the front 10 rows. That's so great. Mostly it would be Foster, go home. Don't come back. Oh, that's great. Thank you very much, Kevin. And man, what a creative solution. If you can't get tickets to something, hey, I can be an usher. I'll get inside the building somehow.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. Although I did notice last month that Wolf Trap was looking for ushers.
Oh, is that right?
So it's like, gee, maybe I should do that.
That is a good, that would be great. Yeah, I think it is a volunteer position, but who cares if you got to hear the music all the time. So that would be fun. And you get a green shirt. So that's cool. Our national park, folks. I want to remind people, too, and this will be a good segue into Bill's tales, that Kevin did mention his radio show. So you should check out Rockin' the Suburbs Radio if you listen to the podcast and you haven't tried out the radio station. There's some really good shows on Saturday morning. Kevin Bartlett kept jamming with Kevin from 9 to 11. And then Mike Coley comes in with his really good show, Walking at a Suburban Pace. So right there is some great music for your Saturday morning. Get your weekend started. And you can just go to suburbsradio.com, or you can go to the Play or Apple Store on your phone, and you can get apps that we have. Thanks, Kevin Goff, again. And Bill, your show comes on Wednesday evenings.
From That's right, at 7 p.m.
7 to 9, yeah. And I didn't listen to it yet. I do have it, going to get it when it gets on Mixcloud this Friday, but you played a lot of Swedish music yesterday in your show.
Agneta Folkstad, one of the A's in ABBA.
Beautiful.
It was her 73rd birthday yesterday.
Oh, fantastic.
And you had a little wall of voodoo in there, too, which is great.
So because it was Stan Ridgway's birthday.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. I'm going to have to definitely look forward to this one. And it will be available on Mixcloud. May already be up there. And the show does replay every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern on suburbsradio.com. So that's the cool thing about Suburbs Radio. Just throw it on when you're in the car or walking the dog, and there's always something on there, whether it's a replay or it is a live show or just our friend Otto, the DJ. So he's really good, too. Okay, thanks very much, Kevin Bartlett, for getting in touch. That was wonderful. Okay, Bill, you, as you said, are a AC Ski School alumnus. You went to Charlottesville, the university down there. What are your college basketball concert memories?
Well, a few things at first. One is it never occurred to me when I was younger to save my ticket stubs. I always just thought of them as trash and got rid of them. And then later when I got older and people would talk about their ticket stubs, and it's like, oh, gee, that would have been a good idea to have when I was 18 years old. But
yeah.
And I also don't have the eidetic memory for my concerts that a lot of our fellow listeners seem to have.
Right. Some of their memories out there are amazing. Yeah.
But I do remember a few things.
Okay.
So the previous primary basketball arena at UVA was University Hall, which was built in 1965. And that was where the basketball teams played until 2008 when they built the new arena. And then a couple of years ago, they actually imploded University Hall, so it no longer exists.
That's interesting. You just told me that this week, and I did not know.
Yeah. One of the first shows I remember seeing there is Talking Heads on the Speaking in Tongues tour. And one of the previous callers was referring to the setup. I think it was Jim, actually. It was the setups they have.
Yes.
And University Hall was perfectly circular. I mean, obviously there's a basketball court down on the floor, but it's perfectly circular. They used to do a thing often where they would block off half of it so that
there
weren't people sitting behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's relevant to this show, and most people who are familiar with Talking Heads know this little act, was when the show started. Before the show, there was nothing on the stage,
mm-hmm.
completely bare. Well, I'm sorry. It wasn't completely bare. There was a bar stool. And that's when Byrne walks out with the boombox, puts it on the little table, sits mm-hmm. on the thing, and plays an acoustic guitar to Psycho Killer. And then for the next act, the next song, they like wheeled out a huge on wheels, a bass amp, and Tina Weymouth walked out and plugged in. Basically, each member of the song, the band came out one song after the other.
Right.
And by the fourth song or the fifth song, everybody was out there. All the gear was out there. But I'd never seen anything like that. So that was fun. That was in October of 1983.
Very cool.
UVA is actually a fairly small place. You can, in terms of walking from one place to another. Mm-hmm. But the apartment that I lived in that year, which is my second year at school, was a 10-minute walk from University Hall. So
wow.
I literally just walk down, see the show, walk back up. Another show that I saw in at University Hall was Pretenders.
Oh, okay.
That I saw after I graduated. My wife was at UVA. That's where we met. But she was a year behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I graduated in May, and the following January, in January of 1987, Pretenders played on the Get Close tour. And my wife got tickets for that. And I just drove down and saw it. And that was the only time I've seen them.
Oh.
Actually, I was supposed to see them a couple years ago, but somebody involved in the tour got sick and they canceled the show. The University Hall was actually UVA's third primary gymnasium. The first one, Fairweather Hall, was built in the 1890s, and it's still standing, but it's wow. now it's an art museum, actually.
Oh, goodness.
The second one, Memorial Gymnasium, or Mem Gym, was built in 1920. 21, somewhere in there. And from that point, 20 to about 1965, it was the primary gym for UVA.
Okay.
And that's where the basketball team played. So I'm counting that one. Two shows I know that I saw there were on March 3rd, 1984. Saw Big Country.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was fun. Wire Train opened for them.
Oh, sweet.
And the other day I mentioned that a friend of mine, his brother had played for Mason. I was at the show with this guy, my friend Scott, and he was actually more interested in seeing Wire Train.
Oh, interesting.
But it was a good show, although there was this guy who seemed like he was 7 feet tall, kept standing right in front of me. And that's one thing with a little gym, there's no seating.
Right.
You're standing on the, basically on the basketball floor.
Yeah, on the court,
And it's not sloped or anything. It's dead flat. So when this guy who was 6'4" was standing directly in front of me, but it was a good show. I had fun. In November of 1984, saw Psychedelic Furs and Love Tractor.
Wow.
At Mem Gym. Yeah, Mem Gym's a nice size. It's about 2,000, 2,500 okay. people for a concert. So you can get the smaller groups that University Hall was 9,000, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Its replacement, JPJ Arena, is 14 or 15, I guess.
Yeah.
14 for basketball, about 15 for concerts. And some groups that you wouldn't be able to get fill a 14,000 seat arena or a 9,000 seat arena. So it's nice to have that size there. In October of 84, REM also played University Hall. I don't know if I saw that show or not, which was actually, when I was researching this, one of the things that kind of surprised me was using Setlist FM, I'm looking at shows at University Hall. There were a number of shows that I didn't go to.
Hmm.
And looking back on it, it's like, why on earth did I not
what was I doing?
See
yeah.
that show? You mentioned earlier how a lot of shows start in September, in the fall, when
yeah.
students still have money. My first year at UVA, Marshall Crenshaw played at Mem Gym. I stole a poster out of a stairwell in a dorm, but I did not go to the show. And I, at this point, do not know why I did not go to the show. Maybe it was money. Maybe the fact it was April 23rd, and that was right before finals.
Yeah, that's near the end, yeah.
And another thing is, I'll admit this about myself, I have difficulty going to like concerts or even movies by myself.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I get the feeling that I'm a loser. I actually have kind of gotten over that. It only took me 55 years to be comfortable enough in my own self that I could go to shows. But I did not see Marshall Crenshaw. In April of 84, Elvis Costello played U-Haul. I didn't see that. In March of 83, Joe Jackson played U-Haul. Mm. I didn't see that. I have no idea. I have no current me would like to go back to the 1980s right. for a number of reasons, but one of them is to slap a 20-year-old me around and say, look, you're not going to have these kind of chances for the rest of your life. Don't pass them up. April of 85, the Ramones played University Hall.
Holy Christmas. Wow.
Didn't see that. Yeah, I don't know. Unless somebody's got these shows coded wrong in Setlist FM, it's like, what was I doing? Or more to the point, what was I not doing?
Right.
Come on, kid, get out there. Live your life, kid. So that's the shows I've seen in Charlottesville. The two other college basketball arena shows that I remember seeing in my life, in February of 84... some friends of mine drove from Charlottesville down to Williamsburg and saw the Police at William and Mary.
William and Mary, wow.
The opening act was Reflex, The Politics of Dancing.
Oh, yes, I remember. Mm-hmm.
That was the only show I've ever been at where the audience started booing the opener because they wanted the main act to take. I guess that's all I want to say about that. The other one that I've seen was in, what was the date here? 88, January of 88. My same friend, Scott Miller, he, one of those, you know, the old, I don't know if they still do this, the radio call-in contest, be the 12th caller, and you'll win
tickets.
Scott won tickets to see Jimmy Buffett at the Patriot Center at George Mason University. Okay. I shouldn't criticize, but... fans, oh my, I guess they call themselves parrot heads. They were obnoxious. Scott and I were looking at around the whole, at these people the whole time and giving each other glance. After he played Margaritaville, we walked out. That's the only concert I've ever actually walked out on. So that's it that I can recall. You know, I've been to shows, Jim kind of excluded, arenas where college basketball teams play, but they're not the primary tenants.
Right.
I'm sure like you, if you included that, the Capitol Center.
Yes, exactly right.
In fact, the only Georgetown basketball game I've ever seen in person.
Was at the Cap Center.
At the Capitol Center. And I saw many shows at the Capitol Center, but that's not really, well, it's not in existence anymore. I've come to the conclusion one of the ways you know you're getting old is when you keep having to say, yeah, that building doesn't exist anymore. So a bunch of shows in Mem Gym and University Hall, and then one each in William and Mary Hall and the arena formerly known as the Patriot Center. I think it's now Eagle Bank or Eagle One Arena or something.
Yeah, not as cool as the Thunderdome.
So I wish I could remember them all as well as so many other members of our community do. But
yeah, I mean, there was a couple of those that I mentioned. I wouldn't even have known I went if I didn't have the ticket stub. So yeah, and it's weird about that ticket stub thing. I didn't used to save them either until I was like in my mid-20s and I started it. And there was a lot of early ones that I wish I had had, you know, like you said. Now, Memorial Gym, is that still standing on the campus?
I think, according to Setlist FM, it looks like there have been concerts there within the last decade. It's mainly just a student gym.
Student gym, got it.
Go to work out. It has an elevated running track around
the basketball arena. Yeah, I've seen those. Mm-hmm.
But the building is so small that apparently you have to do 32 laps to get to a mile.
Really?
And I think running is boring. To begin with.
Oh my God, you're right.
Run in circles 32 times just to go 5,000 feet.
Mile.
Is, yeah.
That's nuts.
But it's still there. In fact, I was just walking past it about a month ago when I was down in Charlottesville.
So. Oh, cool. Very cool.
Unlike the legendary Charlottesville venue Tracks, which is no longer there. So that's too bad. Yes, that is too bad. I saw many, many shows there. All right. Very cool. And you know, as you were telling that, I was thinking the one thing you don't want when you're at a show in a college basketball arena is a guy who's taller, as tall as a college basketball player standing in front of you, right? You don't want the college basketball players behind you, please.
Definitely takes away from the experience.
That's right.
All right. Great stuff, man. Every time I hear somebody talk about seeing that Talking Heads show, that's one of the great regrets I have in my life, is I never got to see that live. I would love to have seen that. It must have been so cool. So cool.
I mean, it's a simple concept, kind of bringing out the gear as you go, but it was just so, nothing I'd ever seen before, like nothing I'd ever seen before. It just really blew me away. It was
just, even when I saw the movie, I was so blown away by it. I just can't imagine how cool it must have been to see live. That's pretty amazing. It really is. And William and Mary, I've never heard of anyone going to a concert of William and Mary. I'm sure they have them, but.
Yeah, I don't know what they use William and Mary Hall for, because it's not to play good basketball.
No.
I didn't go into kind of the basketball history of the schools like some of the other listeners have, but I was looking it up, and William and Mary has never appeared in the NCAA tournament.
Is that right? Wow.
And in fact, they have played more basketball games than any other team that has not.
Is that right? Wow. And they have the nerve to call themselves Mr. Jefferson's University. That's ridiculous.
No. He didn't. That's not Mr. Jefferson. Well, you're just yanking my chain.
Yeah, I'm teasing you. We won't get into that debate. The great debate in the state of Virginia about William and Mary or UVA. That's really cool, Bill, man. Those are great. Great stories. I do think everybody should experience a Jimmy Buffett concert. You know, if you're a big music fan, it's one of those experiences, kind of, you have to go and see how those people act. And I mean, in Virginia, you can even get a license plate, right, with parrot head on it. Like, if you want to, a vanity plate, you know, that's got the parrot head.
Right. And I will say, you know, I was 24 at the time, and with the certainty of youth, that, and knowing what was quality, what was worth listening to, I kind of wish now that maybe I had gone into it with a different attitude. I probably would have actually had a good time. I mean, you know, maybe they were all just drunk on rum, but these people were having a good time. There's probably a reason why they're having a good time. There's something worthwhile taking place here. And if I had just been open to it, I might have actually enjoyed it.
Well, I appreciate that democratic take on the situation. Yeah, it is something. I've been once, and I don't think I'd ever go back, but a long, long time ago. All right. Well, that was great. Thank you so much, Bill. And we may have a couple more stories for tomorrow. We got to check around in the archives to see if a few more have come in. But if they are in, we will bring them to you tomorrow. And Bill, I want to thank you very much for being here. The time has flown by. It's been really fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Do you mind if I put you on the spot again? Do you want to play out with the Talking Heads, or what would be your fancy to play out with today?
Oh, golly. One of the shows that I mentioned that I REM had played at University Hall, but I wasn't sure if I had actually been to that show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The opener was the DBs.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'd like to hear a little something from the DBs.
Love it. We don't play nearly enough DBs on this podcast. That is a fantastic shout. We will close out with the DBs. Very good call. Folks, thank you very much. If you want to get in touch with us, you can go to suburbspod.com. All our contact info is there. And we are at suburbspod on Facebook and Twitter. So you can find us out that way if you want to. We have sort of closed the window on these college basketball concerts, but if you want to get in touch with us about it, you know, sometime down the road after we do new music and some other stuff, we'll certainly address that for you. So if you, these shows have jogged your memory, or you're down the Setlist FM rabbit hole, which is a pretty addicting place once you start getting into it, definitely get in touch with us and let us know. Our email address is rock@suburbspod.com, and you can call the Suburban Party Line, and that number is 612-440
1984.
Thank you. Extra reverb for Bill. That is going to do it for today. And I am Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, we're going to say we'll talk to you tomorrow. And I want to say very much thank you to Bill Mulligan.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. I'm going to call on you again, and we will do this more. It's a lot of fun. The Falls Church Contingent, Patrick and Bill signing off, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Picking up a case of ribbed condoms.